T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2:43 and 5 seconds. It must be time for our football fix. It is time for our football fix, and waiting on the fan hotline, which is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town, is my friend Aditi Kinkabwala of NFL Network. Where are you, Aditi? Are you in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or where?
No, I'm here in Pittsburgh right now, Joe.
It's very nice to hear your voice.
I know, it's been a really long time, hasn't it?
It has. I've been out of camp a couple times, but you were in Cleveland. And
well, I've been in Latrobe a bunch, too, so please don't be suggesting I've been shirking.
No. I'm suggesting
the local
I've been,
team in any way.
I'm actually confirming that I've been shirking the local team in every kind
of way. I thought that was like a given. Isn't that sort of a par for the course?
That hurts. But you were in Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes?
I was in Cleveland, yes. That's I spent a lot of time in Cleveland.
That's where I want to start. And I want to be really frank right off the top with
when did you ever not?
The opening episode of Hard Knocks and the scene that everybody's talking, well, besides the Jarvis Landry ripping into the receiver scene, the scene with the coaches where it comes off as Hugh Jackson looking incredibly insecure as a head coach, I thought anyway. What was your take on that? And what's your take on the dynamic in Cleveland between him and Todd Haley?
So I have not sensed anything in person, being there, having been around the team since Todd Haley was hired, watching practices through OTAs, rookie minicamp, mandatory minicamp, or even now training camp. There is nothing personally that I can sense amiss. There's nothing on the field that looks as if it's an issue. I certainly personally wondered, how would Hugh Jackson, who believes in himself as an offensive mind and as a play caller above anyone else, how is he going to handle handing those reins over? And I'll tell you, last week I was at practice. Baker Mayfield made not an ideal play, probably the wrong read, something. And I watched Hugh Jackson seemingly walk towards Baker, and I said, okay, here's where it comes, here's what he puts his fingers in, and he just walked right on by and let Ken Zampese, the quarterback's coach, and Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, address it. So at least for now, I mean, everything can change once the headsets come on and plays are being called in a game, but for now, that piece seems to be working fine. As for that meeting, I totally agree with you. I think that was the scene of the first episode of Hard Knocks. It's definitely the one people are talking about. And it's funny that you're saying you're kind of falling on the Todd Haley, Freddie Kitchens side, because there are certainly people there, people that I've heard say, well, hey, Hugh Jackson was asserting himself as a head coach and saying my way or the highway. I'll tell you, though, that I agree with you, Joe. I do agree. I think that it's a little bit odd that your assistant coaches suggest something or give an opinion, and your response is simply, well, I'm the guy in the charge. I'm the one sitting in this seat, so it's my way, period. And yeah, I still don't understand what was wrong with Freddie Kitchens' suggestion. You know, Freddie Kitchens is saying, okay, look, if the trainer says these guys get a day off and you want to do that, can I at least have my guy in uniform so he's not just in shorts and not engaged and looking like he's at a tea party? And then later on in the episode, you see Hugh Jackson kind of calling out two DBs who are doing nothing for like, what are you guys, having a tea party over there?
I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't you at least have them in uniform? And then Hugh Jackson seems to say after that, hey, all this stuff's open for discussion. Anybody else? Well, wait a second.
Right, but it's not.
That wasn't
it's not open.
No, it wasn't open
right.
at all.
Right.
I don't know.
And you know what it is? It's one of those things. Look, does a Joe Thomas need to really practice during training camp? No, he doesn't. Does Ben Roethlisberger need to practice every single day? He doesn't. But I was out there and second-year players are getting a rest. And they're getting rest not because they have lingering issues, not because there's something that you have to worry about potentially manifesting itself. It's just, hey, let's just give everybody a day off every so often so that we, you know, their reasoning is we want to ward off these soft tissue issues, which certainly are issues early in the season. But I think Haley made a great point. Look, there were 7 games last year, Joe, seven games where the Browns either had a lead, were tied, or were within one score in the fourth quarter. Seven games. They were legitimately in the game in the fourth quarter. And they did not win even one of those.
Well, the big
they had a 14-point lead in Green Bay, and they lost that game.
Yeah.
A 14-point fourth-quarter lead, and they lost that game. So when Haley is sitting here and saying, hey, we've got to drastically change this thing, we need to build some sort of toughness, and he's coming from a program that clearly no one doubts their toughness. I mean, people doubt things about the Steelers, but you don't doubt how tough they are, and you just get completely shut down. I mean, it's not actually really a discussion. Well, how does everyone else really feel about this? Or let me take this under advisement. It's just a no. We're doing it my way. Okay. That was, you know, good insight. It was good of the Browns to let us see that.
Man, it really was. And Todd Haley is, he's a handful, and it's going to be interesting to monitor that relationship. But the big question for you is, did you get to see the RV that Baker Mayfield and the quarterbacks are all staying in? That was apparently off limits. But we saw it on the show.
We did, but I was not allowed in. I even asked, like, is there a secret, you know, a secret knock? Do I need to learn the secret knock or a secret handshake? But apparently I did not pass muster.
How long
even
before?
Even Hugh Jackson hadn't been in it.
No?
No.
How long before Mayfield starts there, do you think?
I wouldn't count out Tyrod Taylor. This is why I lost my mind last week. Right now it's obvious that, look, Baker Mayfield has made incredible progress since the spring. The Browns obviously believe in Baker Mayfield's potential, his future, and his long-term possibilities in this position. They wouldn't have drafted him number one overall if they didn't believe that. But right now, Tyrod Taylor gives them a better chance to succeed. He is definitely better equipped for this role, for the starting role right now. And I think if Tyrod Taylor has some success, you'll be hard-pressed to pull him. If the Browns don't have success and Baker Mayfield continues to look how he's looked, then of course you're going to give him a chance. But I will say this, and I really think that Tyrod Taylor has someone who's completely buying into him in Todd Haley. And for the first time in Tyrod Taylor's career, he's working with a guy who believes in him and who may really be able to utilize his assets. He's teaching him. Haley is teaching Tyrod Taylor to be less conservative, to take more chances, to use what he has, to play no huddle. You know, Tyrod Taylor has never gotten to run no huddle in his entire career, and Haley's giving him the keys. He's trusting him. And then the other piece to that is Taylor's never had a receiver like Jarvis Landry, ever. And Jarvis Landry is a guy that makes you believe you can throw a 50-50 ball. The same way that we see Ben Roethlisberger throw passes to Antonio Brown that he has no business throwing. But he fully expects, well, Antonio's either going to go up and catch it or make sure nobody else catches it. Ben has the trust and faith in Antonio Brown that if he gives him a chance, Antonio will give it his best shot and not hurt the team, not make him look stupid. Well, Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry has a guy like that, and he's never had a guy like that in his career. So that could mean something. And this team has a great run game. I mean, I shouldn't say run game. They have a great stable of running backs. Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb, the rookie, and Duke Johnson. That's an impressive three-headed running back right there.
Aditi Kinkobala from the NFL Network. Aditi, we're just about out of time. I have 15 seconds left. Percent chance.
Why
that,
is it these yes. are such short segments?
Well, now it's down to five.
Okay, talk fast.
Right. Percent chance that Mason Rudolph unseats Landry Jones as the backup this preseason.
Two.
Okay.
Just because anything is possible, but I don't really see it happening.
Fair enough. Great stuff as always, Aditi. Thanks for taking the time, and I will
Thanks
see you
for
in
having
the trope.
Me.
All right.
Okay. Sounds great. Talk to you soon, Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.